Hi, this is Mike Verdiccio. Welcome to this podcast for confidenceandjoy.com. It's Monday morning, April the 13th, 2009. You know, I was just sitting here at my desk thinking, my daughter and her husband, Paula and Tyson, they're professional musicians, and I've talked to them off and on about doing a custom intro for these podcasts. What do you think? I think it would be really cool. Well, I don't know what part of the world you're in, but here in Glendale, Arizona, it's an absolutely beautiful day. It's gorgeous this time of year. It's going to be around 85 today, in fact, for the next couple of days. So this is why we live here. I've shoveled enough snow to last me the rest of my life, and yes, it'll be scorching this summer. I know, you don't have to tell me, but we are enjoying this right now, at least while it lasts anyway. Speaking of the weather, it was pretty nice last year when my wife and I visited Italy. It was in February, and it was a little bit rainy for a few days, but for the week, highs were around 55. Overall, it was very pleasant. And we were with a tour group on a trip to the Tuscany area of Italy. Now, this was a working trip for me, but we had a whole lot of fun. That part of Italy is gorgeous. And the food, well, I start thinking about that, my mouth is really going to start watering. By the way, a little sidebar here on this. You know, many years ago, my wife and I had thought about how wonderful it would be to visit Italy sometime. And at that time, we really couldn't see how it would be possible, but we kept that dream. And in the last 7 years, we have visited Italy several times, and each time, our airfare and accommodations were provided for us. Our God is such a big God. So never give up on your dreams. All right, I'm going to save that for another podcast when we talk about dreams. Meanwhile, back to the trip to Italy. It included some time in the city of Florence. Now, when we visited Florence for the first time back in 2001, our city tour guide was a lady named Francesca. And this time, once again, to our delight, our city tour guide for Florence was again Francesca. Now, I got to tell you about Francesca. She's in her 80s. She's very knowledgeable, and she's also very outspoken, too. She's one of the most respected city tour guides in all of Italy. I've been told that there is no one who explains Michelangelo's Statue of David better than Francesca. I guess I should have said Michelangelo. That's how they say it in Italy, Michelangelo. And actually, the true Italian pronunciation of my last name would be Verdicchio. But anyway, when I met her this time, I said, Francesca, I met you back in 2001, and the two highlights of Florence for me back then were, number one, seeing Michelangelo's David, and number two, meeting you, Francesca. Well, she was flattered that I remembered her, and who could forget her? In the Accademia Gallery in Florence, Italy, stands Michelangelo's statue of David. If you've seen it or pictures of it, you know it depicts David with his sling shortly before taking on Goliath. It is truly an awesome sight. And as our group stood there, gazing at this 17-foot masterpiece, Francesca pointed out many, many details. But what I found to be the most interesting was her interpretation of what Michelangelo was trying to convey in this sculpture. She told us that the artist was doing something different than what other artists of his time were portraying. She went on to tell us that Michelangelo was not showing David victorious, but rather showing him before the encounter with Goliath. She then pointed out that David looked intense, but determined. She had us take note of his neck and the blood in his veins. And then she said something absolutely remarkable. I will never forget it. She said, David had to throw the stone. God didn't throw it for him. Yes, God can and will help, but he will not throw the stone. Now, isn't that just amazing? I know there are some people who believe in fate and luck and whatever happens just happens for a reason. You know, God works in mysterious ways. You just never know, and a whole lot of statements like that. But what Francesca said is biblically accurate. People so many times forget that God has given all of us free will, and God does not overstep our free will decisions. Yes, he is more than willing to help. In fact, the Bible says he's a very present help in time of trouble, but it's still up to us to believe and to do our part too. Francesca made a very important point that is contrary to the thinking of many Christians. Far too many are just waiting for God to do it. And people say things like, well, if God really wants me to have this, or if God really wants me to do that, then he's just going to have to do it. Well, if that's true, then what about free will? Well, let me just say it in very simple, blunt terms. God is willing, but are you willing? David had to throw the stone. You know, it's kind of like one evening on that trip in Italy, a huge dinner was prepared for our group. I'm telling you, enough food for an army, and there were only 40 of us. Well, you know how the Italians are. Well, we all arrived and were welcomed to the restaurant. The atmosphere was very warm and friendly. The abundance of food was staggering. And yet, no one was forced to eat. We all made up our own minds to feed our own faces. They had done everything that they could in making all of it available, but it was still up to us, by our own free will, to decide to eat, and how much to eat, too. Don't ask me how much I ate that night. You know, the Bible says that God feeds the birds. Remember that in the scriptures? Well, how does God feed the birds? Does God go around every morning with a great big bucket of worms, and then does he open up their little beaks and stick the worms in? How silly. God feeds the birds by providing for them through the food chain. But it's still up to the birds to go out and get it. So why do we think it's silly for God to go around and open little bird beaks and drop a worm in, but we don't think it's silly for him to do the same for us? Just as God has provided for the birds, so he too has provided for us. God has given us promises, and he has well provided for us. He has promised, and he has provided. He is willing, but are you willing? You know, God's not going to overstep your free will. That means he is willing to do his part, but you must also be willing to do your part. Now, God was definitely involved in helping David, but God didn't throw the stone at Goliath. That was David's job. And if David hadn't thrown the stone, he would not have defeated Goliath. Then he could have just said, well, you know, everything happens for a reason, right? Yeah, he could have sat there and said that just before Goliath ate him. You know, seriously, if you read that record in the Bible, the entire army of Israel was full of fear. They saw how big Goliath was and became afraid, and that fear just paralyzed them. Fear will always hold you back or push you back. That fear just paralyzed them, all of them. They were all just sitting there day after day, full of fear, doing nothing. No one even considered getting help from God. And then David came along, and he was the only one to add God into the equation. You know, we may have obstacles, but if we just look at the obstacles, we will stay defeated. Yes, of course, by all means, we believe and expect for God's help, but it is by our own free will that we take the action that is necessary, having confidence and trust in his help. We must be willing, though, to do our part. Orison Swett Marden, who lived from 1850 to 1924, wrote some very wonderful books. And I have a number of various quotes from him for you that I'd like to read right now. The thoughtless, the ignorant, and the indolent, seeing only the apparent effects of things and not the things themselves, talk of luck or fortune and chance. Seeing a man grow rich, they say, how lucky he is. Observing another becoming intellectual, they exclaim, how highly favored he is. And noting the saintly character and wide influence of another, they remark, how chance aids him at every turn. They do not see the trials and failures and struggles which these men have voluntarily encountered in order to gain their experience, have no knowledge of the sacrifice they have made, or the undaunted efforts they have put forth, of the faith they have exercised, that they might overcome the apparently insurmountable and realize the vision of their heart. The reason why so many people fail to realize their ideals is that they are not willing to do their part to make it real. Remember that the longing, the desire to do a certain thing, is merely sowing the seed of your ambition. If you stop at this, You will get about as much harvest as the farmer would get if he put his seed in the ground without preparing the soil and without fertilizing it and keeping the weeds down. You must back up that which your heart longs to realize with an honest purpose to do your best, a dead-in earnest effort to make your vision real. The mere holding of the desire to do so, no matter how persistently or strongly you hold it, will not help you to realize your dreams. You must not only sow the seed of desire and longing, but you must do all the nourishing, cultivating, caring for, or you will only reap a thistle harvest. Boy, Martin, that was pretty descriptive, a thistle harvest. We see men and women everywhere reaping a very thistly, a very weedy harvest from the sowing of mere longings. These people can scarcely get enough out of their harvest to keep them alive, simply because they took no care of their seed after the planting. The constant nursing, cultivating the desire, the ambition, keeping our heart's longings and soul yearnings alive, wholesome and healthy by active endeavor, is the only way in which we can match our dreams with their realities. Boy, Martin wrote some great stuff, didn't he? Sometimes people have the attitude of, what if it doesn't work out? Suppose I fall flat on my face trying. I mean, if it doesn't work out, people are going to laugh at me, right? People say things like that when they're afraid of failing. Whether it's a new job, a business venture, getting married, having children, losing weight, learning a new skill, taking a new class, afraid of losing their job. You know, this fear of failure will many times stop people from even starting something new. This fear of failure stops people cold in their tracks. But here's a neat key. Commit yourself before you start. Before you begin, make up your mind and determine that failure is not an option. Now, let me explain. Sometimes people say, well, I'm not going to do that anymore because I'm no longer interested in it. For example, someone sets out to learn a new language. It's fun at first, but then becomes a little more difficult than they thought it would be, and so they just quit. But why did they start in the first place? Did they need to learn a new language? Really want to learn the language? Or did they just want to learn some words and phrases? I mean, what's the honest answer? You see, that's why if you really think it through as to why, and you find out that you really do desire it, then make up your mind and commit to it. Make a decision up front, before you start, that failure is not an option. Failure is simply not an option. Making a commitment where failure is not an option is when you decide that you are willing to do whatever it takes. It's like Cortez when his ships reached the New World. He burned those ships. There was no turning back. There was no option for failure. Having the kind of attitude where failure is not an option can bring success to you. You know why? Because having that kind of an attitude and mindset, you will find a way to succeed regardless of the circumstances and obstacles that come up. There has to be success because failure is not an option. The Bible says, I sought the Lord and He delivered me from all my fears. God does not want you to be afraid. He knows that fear will not produce success, only failure. And God designed you for success. And He is indeed very willing to help you at every turn. So refuse to be afraid. You can be successful when failure is not an option. Kick out those thoughts of fear and replace them with confidence in God and in His ability to help you. The question is, are you willing to move forward? God has promised to direct your steps and light your path, but if you're just sitting by the side of the road, there are no steps to direct and no light needed for the path. Really, it's up to us to get up and start moving, asking for His help and His direction, and then looking for and expecting Him to light our path. He is willing. Are you willing? Well, that's it for another podcast here on confidenceandjoy.com. Thanks a lot for stopping by. If you have a little more time, you can click on the tab at the top of the page called Archives and check around for some more content on this blog. Also, I put a link if you're interested in checking out some books by Martin. Well, till next time, this is Mike Verdicchio, or as they say in Italy, Verdicchio. Have a great day.